67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. I'm sure all of us recognize that as Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address from the dedication of Soldiers National Cemetery in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania on November 19, 1863. Battle of Gettysburg took place earlier between July 1st and 3rd, ironic, right around 4th of July of the very same year. It was a decisive battle of the Civil War. It quashed any attempt by General Lee's armies to invade the North and change the course of the war. And 2 weeks ago today, on Sunday, Carol and I, it was a pretty drizzly gray day on Gettysburg battlefield, but we were walking around getting our shoes soaking wet, reflecting on what had happened there and reading many of the gravestones. What really strikes you whenever you go to a military cemetery like the one my parents are buried at is the youth of a lot of the people who are buried there in their teens and 20s. At the memorial wall, I found the name of a high school friend of mine, Alan McCall, who died after he stepped on a landmine in Vietnam. I'd never been there before. You know, in many places right at the site of Lincoln's speech, where he gave the speech, the stones say things only like, New York, 104 bodies. That's it. We don't even know who these people were. The Battle of Antietam, the run-up to Gettysburg, took place outside Sharpsburg, Maryland, about 9 months before, on September 17, 1862. The death toll from 24 hours of fighting stunned both the Union and the Confederate armies. Bodies piled everywhere, being the largest single-day loss of life in the entire war, with 22,717 known men dying, and they keep finding remains. You know, today as you walk down Bloody Lane, which you can do, it's difficult to conceive of this sunken road full of the bodies of soldiers who died unless you actually see the photos. My favorite place at Antietam, Carol and I both like it, we like historic locations, is Burnside's Bridge crossing Antietam Creek. It's named after General Ambrose Burnside, whose Union troops tried storming across the bridge for the better part of a day as Confederate troops picked them off from the high ground on the opposite side of the bridge, which you can see here. Do you know three future U.S. presidents were involved in the charge across the bridge? I didn't know that. I heard that from a high school teacher, history teacher, who was there with his class from Tempe, Arizona, explaining everything that had gone on. I went, oh, wow, I didn't know that, you know. And the idea of bloody fighting raging over this very same bridge 156 years ago is really hard to conceptualize, because a lot of times you can stand there on the bridge by yourself. There's nobody around. It's very peaceful. You know, in the opening lines of his Gettysburg Address, President Lincoln was actually citing President Thomas Jefferson, who in the Declaration of Independence, 87 years earlier on July 4, 1776, said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Notice he didn't limit it to that. He said that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of this government. So, on this Memorial Day, I always ask this question. What was this experiment in liberty all about? I asked the dead in the cemeteries, was it really worth it? Why did you die so many, so violently, for so much? Do you know almost all of the people that came to our shores were seeking freedom from persecution, freedom of religion to worship as they chose and to live according to their consciences, unmolested by government? No society can ever exist without some kind of a religious worldview, not even an atheistic one. The founders, deists like Jefferson and Franklin among them, even understood that Christianity would have to inform our government in order to perpetuate freedom and to restrain abuse of power. Any government which has no checks creates its own moral system and then strives to force that on Christianity by violence if necessary. And that's what we see happening around the world today. That's precisely what happened, and it's precisely what the founders wanted to prevent in framing the Constitution later on. You know, we're told today that there's a separation, a wall between church and state, that is nowhere in the Constitution. The First Amendment states that government will make no laws respecting the establishment of religion, nor will it prohibit the free exercise thereof. And in the name of the First, we're being told the Second doesn't apply. It was only intended by the founders as a one-way wall that government will keep its hands off of religion, like the Johnson Amendment, which prohibits churches from speaking if they're 501c3s. It did not intend that it should restrain the religious activities of the people, nor of the people to debate and import their religious values into the political situation. They actually knew that that was required to keep a free society free. You know, it's amazing how many things involve churches. If you look back at our history, Patrick Henry's "Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death" speech, the Underground Railway to shuttle runaway slaves to the north and up into Canada, the movement to abolish slavery, the civil rights movement, even at Antietam, the battle began at the Dunker Church just outside Sharpsburg when Union troops moving in from the north through the cornfields surprised Confederate troops. On the left is what the church looked like right after the battle in 1862, and on the right is how it looked 2 weeks ago. Those who fought the Revolutionary War, they understood all of this. Those who fought the Civil War understood all of this. Those who fought in world wars and the Spanish-American War and all of these wars, they understood this. So why is it that we have so much debate about it today? What changed? Well, that's because imposters have crept in since World War II, distorting the intentions of the founders, seeking to overturn the clear meanings of the Constitution for which so many fought and died, calling it a living and breathing document, Marxist ideas for free market ideas. Instead of a pluribus unum, now it's multiculturalism, a pluribus plurum. You know, it was out of many one, but now it's out of many, many. The ruthless communist dictator Joseph Stalin said, "America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold." Now, this is an atheist, a communist recognizing this. It's patriotism, it's morality, and it's spiritual life. He said, if we undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. And for over half a century, certain elites in the media, academics, and politics have preached at us that we are a no good, very bad, perfectly awful, imperialist, evil, racist, xenophobic country in desperate need of, to quote President Obama, radical transformation. These elites ignore the fact that every nation on the face of the earth has had its warts. There is no perfect nation. There never has been, and there only will be one, and that's when the King of Kings rules with a rod of iron. But that has yet to happen. They ignore that we fought hard to establish freedom, to abolish slavery and to abolish segregation. We promoted freedom around the world as much as we could and provided more benefits for more people in the entire history of the world. We most certainly aren't perfect, but we did give it a good go. It's been a unique experience in the history of the world. Slavery still actually exists today in certain parts of the world where, once again, whites are enslaving blacks. You know, at Gettysburg, Lincoln said, "Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure." Today, we too are engaged in a civil war. It's a war of words, thankfully. And I tell you that no nation which continues to chew out its own guts and to spit on its founding principles as we have allowed to happen can long endure. We're told we're a nation divided. Well, to a certain degree, we are. But you know, having been all around the country and talked with dozens of people of all races and persuasions and religions, I can tell you we are not as divided as those people would have us believe. I think of all the people I talked to on this last trip. I talked to a Muslim woman who, when I was gassing up in Virginia, sticks her head. She was very pretty, had a beautiful hijab on. And she said, "Sir, I can't get my gas card to work." And I said, "Well, let me see what I can do." So we went around and did that. But the one that really impressed me was a German gentleman as we were waiting to get into Monticello because the fire alarm had gone off and we couldn't get in for an hour. I told Tom to get that fixed last time I was there. But He said, Americans, I've been here dozens of times. I love America. I've driven 80,000 miles in America. Americans are a warm, loving people. They come to your aid without even waiting you to ask them. And I said, are you sure? Because we're this no good, very bad, perfectly awful, terrible group of people. And he said, absolutely. You see the difference when you come from Europe. You see, we have been divided by those who were seeking political gain and who wish to import other ideas than the ideas of the founders into the society. At stake today is the preservation of the Constitution and the rights to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, security in our persons, papers, and possessions. They're all on the table right now. It's all in play. President Lincoln said, "It is rather for us to be here dedicated to that great task remaining before us that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom." And so this Memorial Day is not just enough to remember the people. We must recognize that it falls upon us today to whom the torch has been passed. We are the living. And by standing on God and His Scripture and on our founding principles and our documents and with flaming love for all persons, even for our political adversaries, we shall with good conscience assure those that great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, as the Apostle Paul tells us, whom we memorialize this weekend, we can with good conscience ensure them that they shall not have died in vain. And as President Lincoln said, that this government of the people and by the people and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Thank you.
Join Pastor Paul Vannoy Sunday and Wednesday for our online service or in person at 5725 North Pioneer Drive in beautiful Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. For service times and sermon recordings, visit candlelight.org.